Well, hey, if you'll take your Bibles and turn with me tonight, we want to read two passages, and then I want to deal primarily with really the subject of Russia. Russia's making the news in a very strange way through Iran. And I was interested this morning. I turned on the news, I think, about 5 or 6 o'clock this morning, and I saw the number one story, the number two story. Both of them were prophecy. Isn't that wonderful when the news gives you prophecy in the morning? That's just great of MSNBC to do that. I don't know if they do it on purpose, but it certainly fits in well with our lesson. And so take your Bible and turn with me to the book of Ezekiel. Tonight we want to look at Ezekiel chapter 38 and then Zechariah chapter 12. Ezekiel chapter 38 and verse 1. And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, he comes to the prophet Ezekiel, son of man, set thy face against Gog of the land of Magog. So who in the world is this Gog? Of Magog, where is Magog? The chief prince of Meshach and Tubal, and prophesy against him, and say, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I am against thee, O Gog, the chief prince of Meshach and Tubal. Can you imagine having God against you? Wow, it would be an incredible thing to have God against you, but God says that he's against this Gog of the land of Magog. Verse 4, and I will turn thee back and put hooks into thy jaws. I will bring thee forth and all thine army, horses and horsemen, all of them, clothed with all sorts of armor, even as a great company with bucklers and shields, all of them handling swords. Persia, Cush, and Put. May I give you other nations tonight? Instead of Persia, let's use Iran. Because Persia became Iran in 1935. Cush, we would call it today Ethiopia. Put, we would call it Libya. So we would say Iran, Ethiopia, Libya with them, and all of them with shield and helmet. Gomer, or we would today call it Germany and all of its hordes. The house of Togarma, we would probably call Turkey. Turkey of the north quarters and all of its hordes, and many people with thee. Be thou prepared, and prepare thyself, thou and all thy company that are assembled unto thee, and be thou a guard unto them. After many days thou shalt be visited. In other words, he said, Prophet Ezekiel, these things are not even for your lifetime. But he said they're going to be for the latter days. So whenever we see these things taking place, we know it's going to be the last days or the latter days. And that phrase is repeated at least 5 times in the Word of God. He says, you'll know what it is to be in the latter days, the last days. And you know what? All 5 of those I'm going to try to deal with in the month of July that I'm here. Now, you do realize that the Lord may come before then. And so it's important for us to understand that even though we have these plans, it could be that they may come prior to the close of our sessions together. But so it says, after many days thou shalt be visited. In the latter years thou shalt come into the land that is brought back from the short, is gathered out of many people against the mountains of Israel. So there's no doubt it's concerning Israel. And this particular prediction was made 2,500 years ago. And here's what I can tell you. Never in the history of mankind, from the time that it was given to the prophet Ezekiel until tonight, has it been fulfilled as God said it would be fulfilled. And never have all the nations that God mentions 2,500 years ago, never have they all been lined up as they are tonight. Now, that's exciting to me. You want to know why? Because I personally believe that the Bible indicates that before these things ever take place, there's something that's going to be a magnificent event on planet Earth. It'll make MSNBC. It will make CNN. It'll make Fox News. It'll probably make MTV. Because thousands of people will be missing. Before this can take place, I think we that are believers have to be raptured off of planet Earth. Because the conditions that the Bible speaks of, notice verse 11, it says, and thou shalt say, I will go up to the land of unwalled villages. I will go to those who are at rest, who dwell safely, all of them dwelling without walls, having neither bars or gates, to take a spoil, to take a prey, to turn thine hand upon the desolate places that are now inhabited, and upon people that are gathered out of the nations. Wow. This is scary. I got to read another scripture. All right. I don't know why. Why is that thing shutting down?
Very low power.
Oh wow! There. You know what? Yeah. Well. All right. Yeah. I think you better. All right. You know what? Let's read verse 16. It says, "And thou shalt come against my people of Israel, like a cloud to cover the land. And it shall be in the latter days, and I will bring thee against my land." Notice it says my land. You know, there's a lot of controversy tonight. We're going to deal with that tonight. Who does the land really belong to? If you really want to know why the price of oil is as high as it is, it's because of the conflict in the Middle East. You know that? It's because that right now they're saying that there's a little strait called the Strait of Hormuz. And in that strait, Iran says that if we're attacked, if there's a threat of our attack, we will close down that port, and 40% of all the oil in the world goes right through that little gulf. You think gas is high now? They think it'll go to $15 to $18 a gallon. Try that for size. Air conditioning will be a thing of the past. You know what? Even golf carts would be too expensive to run. We'll all be walking. Yeah. And we're one missile away from that taking place. And I wouldn't be surprised when you go home tonight and flick on the news, you find out, because I got news for you. If you think Israel is going to wait around and get fired on by a nuclear weapon, you're sadly mistaken. Already. I mean, this week when they said, okay, we're going to display three airplanes that are our spy airplanes, do you think that that's the latest technology they have? I got news for you. Those are 7 or 8 years old. They have way more modern surveillance weapons there. They have one the size of a baseball that can tell you when you shave and how many whiskers you've got. Yeah. These guys are playing for keeps. We sit around and we talk about a lot of monkey business. But I'll tell you what, these people that are involved in this thing is critical. And so God says, it's my land. Now, there's a tremendous conflict going on. Who owns the land of Israel? We're going to get into that debate tonight. But God says, it's my land. And then, for the sake of time, go with me now to the book of Zechariah. Zechariah chapter 12. And we'll just read three verses, and then we want to begin looking at some of the headlines, and then we want to come back to these passages. Zechariah chapter 12, the burden of the word of the Lord. You see, to Zechariah, he gave a word of the Lord. Now, later, he comes to Zechariah and says, the burden of the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord, who stretched forth the heavens, who laid the foundations of the earth, who formed the spirit of man within him. Behold, I will make Jerusalem a cup of trembling. So Jerusalem is going to become a central point unto all the people round about, when they shall be in the siege both against Judea and against Israel, or against Jerusalem. And in that day, in other words, he names this day, in that day I will make Jerusalem a burdensome stone for all people. All that burden themselves with it should be cut in pieces, though all the nations of the earth be gathered together against it. Can you imagine a time when all the nations of the earth are gathered together against it? Now, the Bible indicates, how do we know when we're living in the last days? And one of those predictions made by the Bible in the book of Daniel, 2,600 years ago, Daniel says, you'll know because when you see this great image that he shows of Babylon, and of all the world powers, he says that when you see it come down to the feet, the toes, 10 toes, part of iron, part of clay. Last week we looked how that every single one of the metals, the head of gold was Babylon, the chest and arms of Syria, and the Medes and the Persians, two arms like two powers. Alexander the Great and the Grecians, the belly and the thighs of bronze, and then Rome. The Roman Empire, the iron legs. But when you come down to the very end, it says that the toes will be part of iron and part of clay. Part of iron, an extension of the Roman Empire. But something new mixed in. And it says, when those kings are in power, Revelation chapter 17 says, they will rule 1 hour and they will give all their power to the Antichrist. They will be so overwhelmed, they won't know what to do. It says that when that happens, that's when this stone, not cut with hands, in other words, not man-made, it will come, it will crush the image, it will crush every world power. It will fill the whole earth, and of that kingdom there will never be an end. That's the kingdom of Jesus Christ. That's the millennial kingdom. But before that ever takes place, there's going to be a tribulation. There's going to be a time when these toes come to power. Now, always before, we've looked at Rome and how it's been revived. We don't have time to do that tonight, but maybe sometime we'll get a chance to. But what is so significant, do you realize that just this spring, the Club of Rome divided the world into 10 sections, suggesting that every section have a king, have a man over the 10 sections. Wow. You know what? That doesn't take place totally until we're gone. Do you realize how long the world's been waiting for this? 2,600 years. And we watch it take place this spring. Pretty exciting time to live, isn't it? Look at this one. The world says we need peace in the Middle East. The book of Daniel, chapter 9, says that in the last days an Antichrist will come and he will try to bring peace between the world, between the enemies of Israel and Israel. Jimmy Carter goes to Hamas. Now, Hamas was unusual because, you see, Hamas is not a leader of a country. It's a terrorist organization. He tried to broker a 10-year peace. It failed. Matter of fact, one news commentator said, you know what? Even if he signed a 10-year deal, it would take 3 years. I didn't make it up. 3 years to get it to work. Wow. 10 minus 3 is 7. The Bible says he'll sign a 7. Okay, stick around. 30 more seconds, I'm going to tell you what the number one and the number two stories of the week were. And when you see that, listen, you know what? This took place April the 27th. I'm sorry to quote from such old history. April the 27th, 3 months ago. Do you realize that you're living in a very time when the Bible's making history? The Bible talked about the fact that there's some unusual partners that come to play. And here is Mr. Putin, the leader of Russia. And here is Gaddafi, the leader of Libya. And they got together and they just signed, I mean, just recently, they signed a $2 to $4 billion military deal to build up arms so that Libya would have the strength to avoid an invasion by Russia, by Israel. When was the last time you heard Israel say they're going to invade Libya? But turn it around. The Bible says in the last days, those going with Rosh into Israel would include Libya. Russia just supplied them with arms. Wow, I mean, can you believe you're watching the Bible fulfilled? Now, July the 12th, guess what year we're talking about? 2008. Now, how many saw the news? I got to know if anyone here saw the news. Am I the only one watching? Oh, there's a few of us. This was so incredible because here's what they showed at first. Iran showed this. Several things you should know. Number one, the missiles there are really 10 years old. They're just now firing them. Number two, they're all Russian missiles. Do you know that there were people that doubted the truth of the Bible because until recently, Russia and Iran were bitter enemies. 1 million people in Afghanistan died, Iranians and Afghanistanis, because Russia sided against them. They hated one another. There was no hate in the world as Russia for Iran and Iran for Russia. It even exceeded that of Pakistan and Afghanistan. But the Bible says, and the last they're going to be friends. They're going to be such good friends, they're going to go to war together against Israel. You know what? We've watched that take place just in the last few years. And so here they are. They're firing Russian missiles, old Russian missiles. This is what they released. But you know what the truth was? That's what really took place. Do you notice anything funny? One is sitting there on the ground. It didn't launch. So they doctored the photo. If you look at it real close, you'll find out that this puff of cloud and this puff of smoke, they're the same. Yeah, they doctored the photos. Why? They want to show Israel that they are tough. That was the number one story. Why did Iran do this? They said, you know what? We're going to be prepared because these missiles have the ability to go all the way from Iran, all the way to Jerusalem and to Tel Aviv. So that if Israel, do you remember Israel saying anything about threatening them? Did anyone see a news clip on Israel saying that they were going to invade Iran? But the other way around, do you realize that the so-called president of Iran, Ahmadinejad, said this, that Israel ought to be wiped off the map and destroyed? Read Psalm 83. We're not going to do it tonight, but one of these nights, I counted up how many times I've got less. I've got to do prophecy every night except for one night on missions. I've got so many topics running through my mind, I'm about to explode, so I've got to preach some of them. And one of them is going to be Psalm 83. Every single nation that went against Israel just recently with Hamas, with the missiles, the Katyusha missiles, every one of those are named by name in Psalm 83. And it says that in that day, they will say to destroy and to wipe Israel off the map. We heard that. I mean, that was just recently that he said that. You see, I look at these things and I say, you know what? We must be living in the last days. This computer may be living in its very last moment because I'm about to... Oh. Okay, here we go. Ezekiel 38 and 39, written 2,500 years ago, but it says written for the last days. And so we should know the last days, because when we see the conditions fitting, we'd have to say we're living in the last days. It even says in that chapter there's going to be an evil alliance. And again, for the first time, these two leaders, one, Mr. Ahmadinejad, the leader of Iran, the man who boasts that he wants to destroy Israel. He will not be satisfied till he destroys Israel. He also says his job is to bring in a Messiah. Did you know that they're looking for a Messiah? Not a Messiah that's a Jew, but he believes that the Messiah will actually be a Muslim. Islamic. Oh, yeah. Matter of fact, by the time we're done, you're going to see what a perversion of the Bible they will make. They will take their Bible, the Quran, and they will absolutely defile the Holy Bible. Wait till you see how they do it. And then here's the leader of Russia. And what a man he's becoming. I think that's an evil alliance. So we want to look at the setting. How do we know what the setting is? We want to look at the armies and the nations. We want to look at the warning. We want to look at the challenge to us. We're talking about who and when and where. And we'll try to do as many of those as we can tonight. Wow. I can't read that, so we'll skip it. Ezekiel chapter 35. You see, there's three enemies that come against Israel. One of those is Islam. Now, when I say Islam, you do realize that I'm talking about those that are Muslim. Are you with me on that? Nod your head this way if you're with me. If you're sleeping, just keep, you know, like that. But, okay, Ross, I'm watching you. All right. Okay. But in Ezekiel chapter 38, it talks about how that Islam will be destroyed. You see, right now, as I look at all this, I say, okay, how is it going to work? Because the Bible talks about the fact that there's going to be a revived Roman Empire. We're watching the European Union come to a major head, aren't we? This club of Rome. The Bible says that there will be an Antichrist. But he's not Muslim. He comes out of a revived Rome. So how does he get to power when these Muslim nations are coming to such importance and such a dominance? Can you imagine how the Muslims are growing? Back home, it amazes me. After 9/11, the greatest insurgence of Islam has occurred after 9/11. Can you imagine that? I mean, if there ever ought to be a time when you couldn't find a mosque in the United States, it ought to be now. But guess what? They're popping up all over. They're growing faster than churches are growing. Yeah, it's crazy. In California, you can study the Quran in the public school, but don't expect to study a Bible in the public school. I wouldn't be surprised if they're growing so fast, sooner or later you're liable to have a mosque somewhere in the Bahamas. I know there's one. It's in Nassau. I'll tell you what, it's sick. It's totally sick. You want to know why? Because they're totally opposed to anything that's of God. It's their own religion. But the Bible talks about how they'll be destroyed. Ezekiel chapter 36. It talks about how that someday, in the future, 2,500 years down the road, someday Israel would return right back and be in the land of Israel. Can you imagine when that will take place? Oh, it's happened. It talks about how the crops will grow in the desert. It talks about how that cities will be destroyed and rebuilt. It names them. It names 12 cities. All 12 have been destroyed. All 12 have been rebuilt right now. I think that we're seeing much of Ezekiel chapter 36 already fulfilled. These are quotes from the Old Testament, and I'm having trouble reading, so I know you can't read them, but Ezekiel chapter 36, it says that I will take you from among the heathen, I will gather you out of all parts of the world, I will bring you into your own land. He promises that there will be a day when they come back in their own land. He says it will be called the latter days. Then he says, there'll be a time when the wastelands, the desert lands, will grow incredible crops. Matter of fact, he says they will feed the world. It says that that will be the last days. And then finally it says in Isaiah, it says, I will take you out of the east. I will take you out of the west. I will take you out of the north and out of the south. I will bring you right back into your own land. You want to know something? The very first people that came back to settle in Israel after they became a nation in 1948 were out of China, out of the east. The next people that came were out of Europe, out of the west. The next one that came, they were out of the south. They were out of Ethiopia. The Ethiopian Jews came back. Some of the most incredible stories. On one story, they flew a 747. They had over 800, they took the seats out, they packed 800 people, I think it was like 813 people, and when they landed, they had 814. Yeah, one lady gave birth on the plane, and they landed with more people than they took off with. Why? Because the Jews are coming back. Do you know that right now, for the first time in the history of the world, there are more Jews living in Israel than any other place. You know what the Bible said? You'll know in the last days, because I will regather the Jews back to their own land. And for the first time, more Jews are now living in Tel Aviv than New York, and more Jews live in Israel than any other place total in the world. Exactly as the Bible said. You know what? I think we're living in the last days. And then in Ezekiel 37, it talks about how that they will become a great army. We're watching that. It talks about how they will become a nation again. And so we may have time to look at some of those details a little bit later. Ezekiel 38 and 39, it talks about the nations that will come against them. Now let's take a look at that. And we may have to put off some of those things until another night because we want to, you know what, I think for the sake of time, I've got 7 minutes. So, wow, I hate to skip that. I'm going to tell you some of those things. First of all, Gog, what does it mean? Is it the name of the king? No. It's a title. It would be like the title president. So when he says Gog, he's not trying to say that's his name. And some people ask me, well, is it Mr. Putin? I don't know. I don't know if it's Mr. Putin. Time will tell. The Bible says that when the Antichrist comes, see, I think the Antichrist is alive right now. Because you see, the number one story of the week were the missiles in Iran. The missiles in Iran because Iran says, we are getting ready to attack Israel. Because Israel said, you know what? If you build a nuclear warhead, if you put that in a 10-year-old Russian missile and aim it toward Tel Aviv, we're going to come after you. Matter of fact, we plan to destroy your nuclear reactor. Good for Israel. I'm glad there's countries that have the guts to do something like that. And so that's when Iran says, if you do that, we're going to close down the Strait of Hormuz and no one will get up. 40% of the oil will be cut off. The oil problem will be your problem. Israel says, we've got to survive. So the number one story was the testing of the missiles. The number two story was this. Right now, I mean this weekend as we are here, they're meeting in France to try to bring about a peace treaty. Can you imagine that? Do you think there's a chance for peace? I think there's as good a chance for peace as for me to gargle the sea in one gulp. It's impossible. The Bible indicates that. And so, here we are. It says that what will take place is that there will be Russia, Gog, led by Gog. Is he Mr. Putin? I don't know. The Bible says we won't know who he is until the church is gone. And after the church is gone, then he'll be revealed in all of his details. Next it says, of the land of Magog. Other references in the Bible show that it's north out of Israel. And when you go north out of Israel, you come into two countries only. One is a place called Turkey, Togarma, it's called in the Bible, and to Russia. Now Russia has two capitals. One of them is Moscow. It's a political capital. And so when you read in your Bible, it says Meshach, two word changes, and you go from Meshach to Moscow. Okay? Matter of fact, I remember the very first time we went on the Russian boat, and we had an interpreter there, and we got to talking about the Bible, and she says, well, is Russia mentioned in the Bible? She says, well, as a matter of fact, it is. And so I showed her the word chief prince. Because in the Hebrew Bible, it doesn't say chief prince. Instead of chief prince, it says Rosh, R-O-S-H. When you pick up a Jerusalem paper, Jerusalem Post paper today, and it talks about Russia, guess what word it uses? R-O-S-H. It hasn't changed. So the Bible says 2,500 years ago, when you see Rosh, then with capitals of Moscow, there's two capitals in Russia. One is Moscow, the political capital. There's an industrial capital where the oil is. Matter of fact, a number of years ago, the U.S. was flying over Russia spying. Yeah, the United States spies too. And they were in a U-2 plane. They were shot down. The pilot's name was Gary Powers. And he was shot down over Tobolsk. It's called Tubal in the Bible. But now when you go to a modern map, you'll see that SK Inin has been added as it's done to all the cities in Moscow. I mean, you know what? This is a well-known fact. And so the Bible correctly admits all these things. Now, don't take my word for it. Next time, I'll show you that I can show you at least six or seven people that agree with this interpretation. And so, for the moment, just say, well, I doubt it because Lindstedt said it, but I think I can prove it to you. Oh boy. I gotta skip these guys. Shut your eyes. Now open them. Okay, here we go. Here's the headline. April the 25th. Putin defends arms sales to Syria. Akhmaminajab. He says, wipe Israel off the map. I mean, these are headlines of papers. Putin, he takes an office, he nullifies his agreement with America. In 2001, Putin welcomes the Iranian president to Moscow the first time in 27 years a president has ever visited there. First times they're friends. Okay? This is why many people said, you know what, the Bible can't be true. Because the Russians and Iranians have always hated one another. Here's a map of Israel. You can... Wow, I've got a... And you know what? That went dead as a... Okay, try. But it didn't look like it's getting any power there. And, all right. Let me take you to another story. We're going to come back to Russia, but I've got to have the maps to do that. But there's a tremendous conflict, and that conflict is who owns Jerusalem? Now, what I want to show you is that Islam says that Jerusalem is ours. Can you believe it? I mean, why? Why would they claim Jerusalem? Matter of fact, in the Quran, you see, we have a Bible, don't we? Are you with me? And we take our instructions from the Bible. And you do know that the Bible is actually a Jewish book. Are you aware of that? Not you're here this way. You're looking at me like you're off the, you're not on planet Earth. Okay, do you know that, matter of fact, do you know that all Jews wrote this? Jesus was a Jew. That'll shock you. All right? And so here's the Quran. Now the Quran is about Islam, isn't it? And when you come to the Bible, guess how many times Jerusalem is mentioned in the Bible. Would you say 30? Would you say 100? Over 700 times. So you'd have to say that Jerusalem is important to the Bible, to Jews and to Christians, wouldn't you? Because our Bible, our book, mentions it 700 times. Guess how many times it's mentioned in the Quran? Would you say 20? 10? It's only 5. No. 0. It's never mentioned. And yet I will show you the quote that was spoken right on the Temple Mount where they say that Jerusalem next to Al-Madin and Mecca is the most important city in all of the world to the Arabs, to the Muslims. Can you believe that? And so the whole conflict comes from this very fact. You can pull that up. We'll look at just a couple of those things. Now take your Bibles and go with me to the book of Genesis. I promise that I'll either have a new computer or something because I will not put up with this one more night. Genesis chapter 12 says, now the Lord said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. So God promises the land to Abraham. And you might say, well, that ought to be enough to prove the point. But you see, to Islam, they would say, yeah, but Abraham is our father. Matter of fact, in Genesis 22, we tell the story that when Abraham, when he sacrificed his son, who was the son that he sacrificed? Brother Gerald, who was the son that he sacrificed? When you read your Bible, A, Noah, B, Moses, C, Isaac. My multiple choices are always C. What's your guess? C, good. He got it right. All right. But if you were raised in a Muslim school, they would say, no, he did not sacrifice Isaac. Instead, he sacrificed the son that he really loved. He really loved Ishmael. Folks, do you realize that that's a perversion of the Bible? That's as disrespectful to the Bible as you could ever be. And so they tell the story completely different. So they say, yes, God promised to Abraham a great land. Verse 2, he says, I'll make you a great nation. Verse 3, he says, I will bless all those who bless you. Then go with me now to chapter 15, Genesis chapter 15. And it's one of the most incredible stories. It says in verse 7, God says unto him, I'm the Lord who brought thee out of Ur of the Chaldeans to give thee this land to inherit it. And he said, Lord God, whereby shall I know that I will inherit? And he said unto him, take me a heifer 3 years old, and a she-goat 3 years old, and a ram of 3 years old, a turtle dove, a young pigeon. He took all unto him, these, divided them in the midst, laid each piece one against another, but the birds divided he not. And then the fowls came down upon the carcass, and Abram drove them away. And when the sun was going down, a deep sleep fell upon Abram, and lo, a horror of great darkness fell upon him. And God said unto Abram, know of a surety that thy seed shall be a sojourner in a land that is not theirs, and shall serve them, and they shall afflict them 400 years. That's the story of Egypt, isn't it? And then he talks about how that they will come back as a nation, how that God will bless them, and how that God will give them the land. Now look at verse 18. He says, in the same day, in other words, when God made this covenant, in the same day, he says, the Lord made a covenant with Abraham, saying, unto thy seed I will give thee this land. Now look at this. From the river of Egypt unto the great river, the river Euphrates. So those are the boundaries. The Canaanites, the Kenzites, the Kadamites, the Hittites, the Perizzites, the Rephites, the Amorites, the Canaanites, the Girgashites, the Jebusites, the Termites, the Electricites, and the Megabites. I mean, he gives them the whole thing. Okay, I made up a couple of those, so don't correct your Bible on that deal. Listen, if you look at what he did, he gave them the land that is Israel, but he gave them way further. It includes what we call today part of Iraq. All of Iran, most of Syria, all of Jordan, and a good portion of Egypt, he gave to Abraham and said, this will be your land when it's all said and done. Do you think God's going to keep his word? Now, how secure was his promise? I'll tell you what, this was unbelievable because, you see, in those days, when you made a covenant, they didn't have lawyers there to make the contract. And so they did what they call a walk in the blood. God says, Abraham, take these animals. And when he takes these animals, he would split the... can you imagine taking a bullock and splitting it right in two, and you lay one part of the bullock here and one part of it here, and here's a trench. And you split every animal in half, and then what you do, you say, you know what, I'm going to fulfill what I promised to fulfill. Maybe it's to sell land. Maybe it's to give away a daughter as a bride. But he said, I'm going to fulfill that. And if I don't, then take my life. And how they did that, how they signed it in blood, is that when they divided those animals and the blood began to flow into this valley, they would walk down the valley so that your clothes had blood, your feet had blood. And you'd walk all the way down, you'd walk all the way back, so that it's like saying, you know what, I swear that I will fulfill the bargain. And so Abraham gets the animals, he splits them. Now there's blood that flows in this, and all of a sudden a deep sleep comes upon Abraham, and Abraham never walks the valley. But guess who does? Genesis 15 says God does. God says, Abraham, I promise I will give you all that land. Did it depend on Abraham? Not at all. You know what? He did the same thing at Calvary. You see, this is a wonderful picture of Calvary. He took the Lord Jesus. Those vultures that are there, it's a picture of the Gentile powers. The darkness is there. It's a picture of the darkness that came upon it. And Jesus, all alone, made the deal. Do you think God's going to fulfill his deal? Absolutely, he's going to fulfill his deal. It doesn't depend on Abraham. It doesn't depend on how good Israel is. It depends on how great God is. And so this is what, oh boy. Yep, that's what we want right there. Okay, now go with me to one more scripture. Or, you know what? Well, we got this thing running. Let's work it. Okay, here is, here's what he says. Mount Moriah. The whole thing starts with Mount Moriah. You see, the Arabs want it. The Jews want it. It's the Temple Mount. God says this, Zion, Jerusalem, he who touches you touches the apple of God's eye, it says in Zechariah. It says in Kings, for I will defend this city to save it for my own sake and for my servant David's sake. How can the Arabs claim David? Think about it. How can they claim David? Look at this one from the Jerusalem report. It says, the heart of the matter, why Israel agonizes over the Temple Mount that it doesn't quite own. They won the Temple Mount and the battle, and guess what? To this hour, the Jews cannot worship on the Temple Mount. Recently, we were searched, and if you had a Bible or a New Testament, you could not take that on the Temple Mount. They said, it's a controversial doctrine. It could start a riot on the Temple Mount. But you can read a Quran up there. Now look at this. Here's the Temple Mount. This would be like you're looking at it from the Mount of Olives. And when you look at that Temple Mount, this place right here is the second holiest place to Islam. It's called Al-Aqsa Mosque. That's where supposedly Muhammad had a dream. And he said he was in the furthest place. And they say, what could be further away than Jerusalem? Does that make any sense to you? I can think of a lot of cities further away from Mecca than Jerusalem. And then this is the Dome of the Rock. It's not a mosque at all. Those are number two and number three in terms of holy places. Right here, a man by the name of Arafat was getting ready to build a mosque to his own honor. And God put him to death. Yeah, I think God allowed him to die just to make sure that that didn't occur. Now look at this. This is one of the spokesmen for the Islamic religion. There is not the smallest indication of the existence of a Jewish temple on this place in the past. In the whole city, there's not even a single stone indicating Jewish history. Can you believe that kind of a lie? He is saying that in all of Jerusalem, there's not a single stone that shows it's Jewish. Listen, folks, if we sit around here much longer and if we begin to accept all the stuff that's coming to us, we're going to believe this kind of a lie. This is one of the great spokesmen for Islam. Not a single stone. All right, look at this. He is a good-looking guy. I got to admit that. Okay. He says, I will not have it said of me that I acknowledge the existence of a so-called temple. He says, I don't think there was ever a Jewish temple on the Temple Mount. Why was it called the Temple Mount? I mean, does that make any sense? And so he wanted to put a mosque there in his own honor. They were digging the hole to do it. I show you this because if I were to take you to the Temple Mount, I could take you down to the side and you'd see a saw there. That's a stone saw. And when they're digging down, like when they were going to build the special mosque for Mr. Arafat, anytime they find a stone that looks Jewish in its nature or has Hebrew writing, you know what they do? They run it through the saw. The trouble is, they threw all this out in the Kidron Valley. There's something called the Kidron Dump. There is all the debris. Wait. 20,000 tons of debris. And he's right, there's not a single stone, but you know what? There are thousands of stones that have Hebrew writing and thousands of stones that are obviously Jewish vessels that have been busted or cut in two. You know what they are? They're liars. They're liars. Because they want to turn all the world against Israel. The Bible says in the last days, the whole world, including America, including the Bahamas, including Britain, will turn against Israel. And all the nations of the world will come against them. You want to know something? If Israel tries to take out a nuclear power plant in Iran, and the price of oil doubles overnight, do you think the whole world will turn against them? I know they will. We're in a very unique position to watch this take place. Guess what? I think we're out of here before it happens. I don't think it'll probably happen until Monday morning. Jesus could come tonight. Do you know that? Jesus could come tonight. Everything is set. Russia, Iran, Libya, Ethiopia, every single nation is set. These, do you think they're playing playground games with these missiles? Do you think for 1 minute that Iran would not love to drop a missile on America? And love to drop a missile, as he calls it, on the Satan and on the little Satan and the big Satan? It's going to happen. You want to know why? The Bible says so. That's why. The Bible says so. Folks, we are living at a unique time in the history of man. How can you deny that the Bible is not being fulfilled? And you know what? The same God who told about all these things also says this, that there's a way to go to heaven. Aren't you glad? And that way is Jesus Christ. All of these things are so that we will know that we're living in the last days. Every one of these things. He wrote them. He recorded them. He said, listen, I'm going to tell you these things so that as it is occurring, you'll know it's going to happen. And you can be prepared. It ought to excite us. Look at this. This was the official guidebook, official Muslim guidebook in Jerusalem, 1935. I quote from it. It says this. This site is one of the oldest in the world. Its sanctity dates back to the earliest times. Its identity with the Temple of Solomon is beyond dispute. And from 1935 until today, it's now being said, hey, you know what? Here's what they say. He who comes to Jerusalem is forgiven by Allah for all of his sins. That's a new doctrine. Do you realize that 10 years ago, they didn't believe that sin was a matter to deal with? They had to change their Quran. It was so out of date. It was so pathetic. They didn't believe in hell. The Muslims have just invented hell in the last 10 years. Wow, you know what? That's why I'm so delighted. I can tell you, you know what? What we're reading tonight in the Bible was written 2,500 years ago. God has not changed his mind. That's a powerful word of God, isn't it? And 2,500 years from now, when we're in heaven, we'll be able to read the same book and it'll be just as up to date. That's the power of God's Word. What do you trust tonight? What do you believe tonight? I'll stop with this one. Jerusalem is at the top of the city sacred to Islam. No city equals its holiness except for Al-Madinah and Mecca. Jerusalem is ours and not yours. This city is more important to us than it is to you. Jerusalem is the key to both war and peace, but if the Jews think that they will that by force they would allow them to keep both the land and the peace, they delude themselves. This was spoken right on the Temple Mount in Al-Aqsa Mosque. Can you believe you're watching these things take place in the news? You know what I think? I think the very next thing that could take place is the trumpet's going to sound and those of us that know Christ are gone. Can you imagine the panic that will be on this island when the rapture occurs? You know what? There are some of you sitting here tonight, and when you see all these people gone, I think you'll run from door to door. I think you'll knock and say, hey, Tyson, where? Tyson! He's gone. Mark, come on! Mark, don't play a game! Mark! He's gone. And hundreds from this island will be gone. Here's the tragedy. I think those that have heard the gospel and refused the gospel will never be saved in the tribulation. Can you imagine passing up a chance? I want to close with this. Let's just say, I was reading the bulletin, I'm looking at all the people that have cancer. Let's just say that I had in my pocket a little bottle of pills and said, cure for cancer, take one pill and you're cured. Do you have any friends that you'd like to give a pill to? Anyone have a friend tonight that raise your hand if you got a friend that's got cancer, you'd like a pill. Yeah, okay. About 30 of us. The rest of it, you'd sit there and say, I don't know. Don't want to admit I have a friend that's got cancer. Can you imagine if I had that pill and I didn't tell someone that I had that pill? Well, you know what? I don't have a pill that cures cancer, but I've got something that cures sin. It's Jesus. One dose of Jesus will do it. You see, you could take that pill and you could put it in a bottle and you could put it on your table. And when someone came in and said, you know what, I got cancer. And if I just take this pill, I'll be cured. And you could sit there and you could die with cancer, couldn't you? And you see, you can go home tonight and you can have that Bible. You can put it right on the table. And one dose of Jesus, one dose of Jesus' blood will cure you from all your sin. But it doesn't do any good until you take that pill. And you personally take that pill, and guess what? Then you can be cured. And you know what? Jesus died for you. He died for me. He died for every single soul in the world. And you've got to take him. And when you take him, guess what? You look at these things, you say, oh, wow, how exciting to know that we're living in the last days. We're living in the last days. It doesn't matter whether you believe God or not. We're living in the last days. Every event, and by God's help, I'll try to be more organized. I'll try to get this thing so I can actually show you some of these pictures next time. Every one of these events, it's shown we're living in the last days. Libya, Iran. I'll show you the headlines, at least 15 or 20 major headlines to show you the arms deal that Russia is making, all to bring Israel to its position. You know what the Bible says? They're going to invade. I can show you every...